You're listening to Showtime
on URN.
Hello, I'm Ella Vidrinska from Showtime, URN's specialist musical third show, and you're listening to our podcast Spotlight On, where I'm keeping you up to date each week with all the latest theatrical news. And I have to say, without having favourites, I'm especially excited about this particular episode because for years now, I've been a huge fan of a musical called From Here to Eternity. It's an incredible show that follows a group of soldiers stationed in Hawaii in the run-up to the attack on Pearl Harbor. And it has some of my favorite music from all of musical theater in it. I mean, I play it at every possible opportunity on Showtime, but there's this brilliant mix of blues and swing and big band and rock and roll all combined into this one show with music and lyrics by Stuart Brayson and Sir Tim Rice. And so, knowing how much I love this show, I was very excited when it was recently announced that From Here to Eternity is coming back to London later this year. It's going to open at the Charing Cross Theatre at the end of October, and tickets are available now via the link here in the post. But I wanted to find out a bit more about this show, because not only is it a musical that I love, but it's also very exciting to see it coming back in an entirely new format, in a completely different theatre, and for want of a better word, with a different outlook on the show itself. And so I am very excited to say that I've been chatting to the composer, Stuart Brayson himself, to find out more about what we can expect.
Well, you're officially the first person I've chatted to about the new production, so it's kind of exclusive, really, because I haven't started to even think of the process, really, about talking. And now Tim hasn't done anything either. I mean, but we're more concerned about kind of getting the nuts and bolts right and all of that stuff, because really it's kind of... I suppose we're adapted to this new theatre, and because it's quite a small theatre, it's kind of a different production. So we have to work around the theatre and make it work. It's kind of, which is exciting. It's almost, this is the way we should have probably done it the first time when we went straight into, you know, the Shaftesbury. But, and you have to work around your theatre. So it's going to be quite exciting, really. But if you ask me questions about what's it going to be, I'm kind of like going, well, I think it might be this, and I think it might be that, but I'm not so sure, because we're working on some new songs at the moment as well. So, and I've never been involved in a revival. I don't like that word, revival. I'd rather a return, you know. It's not really a revival, because it's going to be, it's almost like a new production. Well, it is a new production. So in some ways, I don't know the answers to certain things. So I'll wing it anyway.
Oh, yeah, just make things up as you go. It's always the best way.
Yeah.
But going back to the very, very beginning of From Here to Eternity,
yeah,
where did the musical come from?
Well, I had been working for quite a while on a musical on Matahari, which was kind of my first dip into proper theatre, because I started in a band. I mean, kind of, I didn't intend to follow this path at all. I was one of these chaps that when I was a kid got a guitar, wanted to be a rock and roll star. I did okay, nearly, you know, made the big time and all of that. So really theatre happened to me at some point when I was on stage singing my own songs. I kind of went, why do I feel I should be in a character? Why do I feel, is it theatre? You know, all these things. But at some point in time, I put the two and two together and went, oh, and kind of that's where theatre began for me. So I ended up writing a musical about my adventures in the pop business, which one day I'd kind of like to go back to, and this is quite a few years ago, which was kind of a precursor of jukebox stuff, though it was a completely new score. But I got the taste from it from that, and then I ended up writing a bona fide musical on a different person called Matahari. Found the story fascinating, ended up going to Holland and the Warden where she lived, you know, went on this journey through the show, and it whetted my appetite for, wow, this is kind of like something else, you know, and the show can go on, you don't even need to be there, you know, all of this stuff. So I just literally thought, well, I want to find a new story. And I knew Tim from years ago because he was interested in my band and he liked my songwriting. And obviously, he's kind of king of the theatre. So I kind of said, I'm working on something new. Would you listen to it? He said, yes. And I sent him the initial songs for From Here to Eternity. And really where I got the story from was from the movie. I didn't know there was a novel. I didn't really. So a lot of the stuff that is on Wikipedia is kind of, you know, false information, really. I don't know where they get this stuff from. But it was nothing to do with the novel. It was the film, because I'm a film buff. And I love the Montgomery Clift movie. It's so cool. And I just thought, well, I think that would make a good musical. So I started off writing these songs and I sent them to Tim, thinking, well, he's probably going to come back and go, this isn't very good or whatever. And he just got back instantly to me and said, I think you've got something. This is really good. And he liked the story as well. But then he said, do you have the rights? And I was naive. I went, what's that? You know, do you need it? And obviously you do, because it's such a big title. So the journey then ended up, okay, he says I've got something. Maybe I do. And actually, three of the songs that I came up with, one was G Company Blues, one was 30 Year Man, and one was Don't You Like Hawaii. So they all ended up going further, and two of them, or three of them, will still be in the new production. So I was on the right lines, and I was writing the words out music. But then Tim kind of just said, this is such a good story, I'd like to be involved, and I'm great. And then down the line, helped me get the rights. And then we were kind of pursuing it with my words and music. And then one day I just got a call from him and said, you know, would you mind if I kind of contributed as a lyricist, which is what I really wanted him to say. You know, I kind of had said it to him, hoping he was going to go this, but it was a weird thing. And I went, great. So after that, we just like 50-50 on everything. And it's just been a crazy, crazy journey ever since, because the story captivated people, and it's captivated an audience like yourself, which when I first was presenting it to people, and I know I'm giving you a big answer to a question, but it's quite interesting because people don't know this stuff, that when I did present it to people initially, like producers and whoever, they were saying, yes, it's good, but it'll only appeal to people who were in the war. And I said, well, I'm not going to have much of an audience because they're all dead. You know, so it's like, that doesn't sound very productive or helpful. And then the next thing they were saying, and it won't appeal to girls or women. And I went, well, I don't, you know, my songs tend to, even when I was in a band, I always found that girls like the music, the sensitive stuff, you know. So I thought, well, I think that's a bit, I don't believe that. And I was kind of pushed, and it's only going to appeal to people who like the military. And all of this, and I thought, well, you don't have to be a soldier to appreciate the story, you know. It's an anti-war show. It's not a pro-war. So I'm like, but anyway, I was proved right, because the fan base from Here to Eternity, since we launched it at the Shaftesbury, has been, you know, right across the board, young and old, but mainly young women. A lot of young women got it, and I said, well, I was proved right, you know, because I said it will appeal to. You know, it's the story. And so this is the stuff. Anybody that's listening and gets into kind of wants to write musicals and all that, you've kind of just got to trust your own instinct. And it's nice to listen to advice, you know, and I give advice to people and people give it to me, and that's cool. But at the end of the day, you've got to listen to your heart. You've got to listen to yourself, and you've got to believe you've got something and a story that you believe in. You've got to think, am I going to still think this story's good in 10 years' time? Because a lot of the time, that's how long it takes to get these things going, you know? So it still has to appeal to you when you're 10 years' time, and which Eternity does, because it's such a great, great story. And, you know, I'll still enjoy the story when, whatever, you know, I'm on my deathbed or something. It's that good. So I've been very fortunate with it. But anyway, that's an answer to the question, that it kind of came from the movie. And then I found that there was a novel, and I ended up reading the book, and I thought, oh, this is even better, because there's so much more information in the novel that's not in the film. And so we could put all of that into the show. And then we've got the rights, and the daughter of the novelist, James Jones, his daughter, Kaylee, has been brilliant. She supported the show from day dot. She got it, because she got it, that it wasn't like a musical that had come from some sort of that world. It had come from my head, come from the kind of rock world, and also about the story. And, you know, it's she got it from day one, and she'll be coming to see it, no doubt, in London. And she's been a great, great supporter, and the whole family, and we've been really fortunate that they got it. But it's amazing journey that you go on with these stories, these shows. It's just amazing, phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I really appreciate you saying there is that, yes, you know, it is this incredible story, this, you know, anti-war story. But at the same time, your music, as you say, isn't from the traditional theatre catalogue of sound. And I have to say, I remember first coming across this show kind of by accident, because of Michael Ball, of all people. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was just browsing through YouTube years ago, and a video popped up of Michael Ball singing Fight the Fight. And this was back when From Here to Eternity was brand new and hadn't really been heard that much. And I just remember from the opening few seconds alone going, yeah, no, this is for me. I absolutely love this. But it was done as this concert piece with Michael Ball, and it was very pretty, very musical theatre, which, don't get me wrong, I really, really liked. But imagine my surprise and my joy when I went and listened to the cast recording, and Fight the Fight is this really angsty rock song instead. And I guess where I'm going with this is, from your perspective, as someone who's kind of straddling these two worlds of, like, musical theatre and more popular mainstream genres, how did you even start creating a score like this and blending it all together?
It was bizarre, really, because I had it in my head what it sounded like, but you don't know. And then when we did it the first time at the Shaftesbury, there was like a moment where you're sitting in this wall of sound with just the band playing without the singers. And then suddenly you go, oh, hey, I'm quite good, aren't I? You know what I mean? I'm quite talented. Because this sound is amazing, but it's also, it does straddle those two worlds. And it kind of like, that was the pitch that I worked, when we worked at the Shaftesbury with the MD we had then, he kind of said, what do you want it to sound like? And I said, well, I kind of want one foot in Leonard Bernstein, you know, and I want the other one in David Bowie. And I was kind of like, can we get there? And I think we got, well, the Bernstein, I don't think he really, because he was more traditional, real traditional theatre. He didn't get the Bowie thing. But what's interesting with this new production is the new MD has kind of got, he's a younger guy and he's more into that world. And because he's a fan of the show, he knows the score, and he's coming to it from a guy that I can't wait to get to do these songs. I was at college when this came out, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so he's a fan, and it's great. And I just had a meeting with him last week, and we got to know each other a bit during the day, and just at his place. And it was great because we're just going through the stuff. And I said, I don't want it to be stuffy. And I wanted to have it, you know, and I hope the fans of Eternity, the old production and the cast album and all that, will have the same. And I'm sure they will, because I think we've got a cool fan base. They're really kind of not like other fans. And I think they're intelligent, you know, which I give them credit for. And I think they'll come along with an open mind and that we're going to take these songs and kind of strip away things on them and make it, I call it unplugged, like give it that sense of, you know, there's not going to be this huge brass thing because we'll not have that physicality of being able to do that. But I don't think the songs will suffer. I think we're going to go on a different journey with them and maybe get a more pure, maybe a closer to the rock thing. You know, it'll be more of that will be coming through and a bit more gutsy and a smaller band. And so I'm kind of excited about that. And hopefully we'll get a new recording of it. That'll be a different one. And I'm, you know what I mean? And I think that'll be good. So we can hear the songs in a different light. And also we've got things that in London the last time, like there's a song called Almost Perfect Live. And we never got the middle of that in, which I wrote with a huge rock bit in the middle. It's like Gessamay or something. There's this huge thing going on. And we didn't have enough, you know, because we were still messing around with it all through that run. We kind of cut the middle out. So it goes from him getting shot and the melody, and then, the choir comes in. And then it goes to the end bit. We don't have that middle bit. Now, the middle bit, we're going to do. And you'll hear it for the first time in London. We did it in America. So it'll be a bit more rocky, and that's going to be great. And we've got, like I said, new stuff coming in, but it's going to be more of a stripped away band, I think. But since I've not heard it myself, that it does feel that That's why I don't like this word revival, because it's not a revival, it's a return. And because we didn't really get the run we should have, it's kind of like, it's almost like we're just extending what we did before. It's just been this huge gap in between. But no, it's to answer your question, it's been really great to when I heard the stuff played. And what I love is the singers, because I do sing, but my voice is more of the rock kind of that world. And to hear theatre singers who can just hit these beautiful notes and hang on to them forever, you know, that's not my world. You know, we weren't pretty as that. You know, I'm loud. I've got a loud voice. They've got this lovely, you know, they can hit these beautiful notes, the girls and the boys. And it's, I'm just being so fortunate to hear that. And they just love the story as well. So we're going to hear a new Pruitt. We're going to hear a new Warden. We're going to hear a new version, new Karen, new Loreen. They're going to bring something to it. But also, and if any of, we haven't cast yet, so I don't know who's going to be playing it. But if anybody listens to this at some point and they do get cast and I've not met them, I always say to singers who do my stuff, do something that you want to do with it. Don't, you know, I love adventures and things. So I kind of want people to go on that journey. And sometimes you don't need to kind of, I like acting in the song. You know, I don't necessarily need to be, you know, a big, all that stuff. It'd be a bit more, you know, real and kind of talking to the audience in it, because you get the melody anyway, hopefully. So it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. For me, it's great to be back into it, back home, because the American trips are great and we're doing great business on that. You know, it will end up on Broadway and tours in America and all that. But when I go to America, and I love America, I kind of always felt like I was letting the people that love the show in London and England down, you know? So it's nice to come back.
Yeah, definitely it feels exciting to see it. It feels weird to say back on home turf, because it's such an American story at heart. But
yeah.
I think that the vibe the show creates is very British musical theatre.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, one of the things I'm particularly excited about, and not least Nick Barstow, who you've mentioned is going to be the musical director, and Katie Lipson, who's producing it. And like, I love their work so much, and they're still both such up and coming names who I'm always very excited to see attached to any kind of project. But also the fact that you're going to be somewhere like the Charing Cross Theatre, which is much smaller and much more intimate than the Shaftesbury where you were before. And I guess, without beating around the bush too much, it doesn't necessarily have the same prestige and pressure that you had before. So is that also going to feed into this new version of the show?
Yes, yes, very much so, very much so. It's a kind of like, we need to find a version of this that will play in bigger theatres. But to try it out in a smaller one is kind of sensible. And because you can always go bigger. But the thing is to do something intimate and small, and it works, and cheaper. You know, it's cost effective and all of that. When you get that right, you know you've got something that you can then say, okay, we can take it on the road, we can go Broadway, we can come back to West End in a bigger theatre, whatever it might be. But we know the crux of the thing is working, and the book is working, because books of musicals are really delicate creatures and are very difficult to just fine-tune and get right. And I get frustrated with Eternity sometimes, because I've got so many songs that I've written for this, that I kind of go, well, can't we just put another song in it? Can't we? And it is that kind of delicate balance of going, no, we need to trust the characters, we need to trust the book, but also find the right way of telling this story. And so it is very much like a great chance for the show to come back. And Katie's fantastic. And I was so fortunate to meet her just before the lockdown and everything, and I just knew from day one she's the right person to take this forward. You know, she's my kind of producer, and it was very much about the next generation that I want to hear, not just Eternity, all my other shows. This is kind of what I want to be, because I do feel, without, you know, waving a banner for me or my work, I kind of got so much stuff, and I think we need new shows and we need melody, but also to be a composer, I've had the experience of working in the big theatres now, and I know I can provide songs that will be able to fill them. and entertain them, and people go out singing the stuff. And, you know, for theatre, the lifeblood of British theatre especially, we need that. It's all right, you know, we're doing this, we've got this going and that, and competitions for this and all that, which is cool. But until you're in a big, big theatre and you have to write a song maybe in the previews, which I did in the last one with More Than America, and then you go, it has to go in and it has to work. And you, that's when you know whether you've got the, you know, the muscle or not to do it. And I know I can do that stuff. And I know that it's a case of, I just feel like I'm sitting in the audience all of the time. I always write stuff thinking, would I like this? Would I go and see this? Would I have liked this at 16? Would I have liked this? Because I was very critical at that age, which you are when you're young. I can do better than that, all that stuff. And so I always think like that still. I'm still sitting in the audience. So if I don't think I've written a good song, it's not very good. You know, I'm my own worst critic and my own biggest fan. I think you've got to have that. But we need, this is important, not just for me, certainly I think this is important for me as a composer to be able to get other stuff out. And, you know, because I think there's, I mean, musical theatre now is just taking that mantle. It's, I always say to people, when I was a kid, we all wanted to be pop stars and On Top of Pops and all that. That's gone. Everybody wants to be involved in musicals now, but we need new work. We need songs and shows that are really good stories and classy stuff, and let all these talented kids at drama schools, I mean, they're brilliant now, just give them the opportunity to do new stuff. It's just so important for them. And they want to sing stuff that's melodic and memorable and, you know, great songs and great stories. So hopefully From Eternity also it's the start of something else, you know, that we can get that going and we don't rely so much on jukebox stuff and revivals of really ancient stuff, you know.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I'm really pleased that you mentioned that because I know from hearing you talk before and from following you on social media and like just being aware of you as a creative, you are such a strong proponent of new British musical theatre. And I say this as someone who loves musicals and like if you put it on a stage, I will happily go and watch it. But it does sort of get to this point where we've got like a lot of big transfers and big blockbuster Disney productions or whatever. Do you think this dream of having more new British musicals is still practical and still attainable when producers and tourists don't necessarily seem to want to go down that route?
It's a business. I don't think the public or the problem. So this is where I'm different from everyone else. I never underestimate the intelligence of the public or their appetite for new work. They're just like me, they're just like you. We're all like that. We all want that. So I don't agree with that. But unfortunately, the business people and the business side of it is conquering the art. And it is art, whether we like it or not. And some people will say, oh, it's not. Well, musical theatre should be art. But it doesn't mean you can't be commercially successful. I mean, it's kind of like, use the Beatles as an example. The Beatles were the biggest band, they still are, of all time. They were having number one pop hits. We're still listening to them today. We're going to hear Paul McCartney at Glastonbury. But they were still taking artistic risks and leaps. When they were offered to put us to write a new song to be played around the world, in 1967, I think it was, they could have just said, oh, we'll take one from our album and we'll just do that. They went, no, we'll write a song especially for it. And they risked it, and it was called All You Need Is Love. And they put it on there, and it's a great song, and it still works to this day. Now, I use that as an example. That's where the West End should be. We should be seeing new premieres of big shows, British shows, every 3 months, 6 months, whatever it is. And these runs, you know, and I had this conversation with Tim Rice. He knows the Lion Kings and all that, they're great, but 22 years and all that is lovely for your bank balance. But the other side of it is it's taking a theatre, and I'm just using that as an example. I'm not knocking the shows or the people in them or anything. But my theory is, which is as an artist, I would rather have a show on every year and take it off and put some new on than have a run of 20 years or something, because I think it's just, it's kind of boring, really, as well. You know, if we're not trying stuff and risking and all of that, and allowing the young people, this incredible talent coming from all the theatre schools to do something new. Give them a new song, give them a new show. You're going to be the lead in this brand new multi-billion pound whatever in the West End. That's great. That's what they signed up for, to go to college and do these things. They didn't really think, oh, I'm just going to be in a show that, you know, my grandmother went to watch. You know, it's kind of a bit boring, isn't it? You know, so that's my argument. And it is doable. And it's just because people aren't doing it, people think it can't be done. You know, that people, like the public, oh, they just want to hear the greatest hits of this band and the jukebox stuff and all that. And that's all there. And it's kind of dumbing down theatre and it's dumbing down the public. It's kind of saying, well, you know, they're underrating their intelligence. So I think new work is everything. And also in London, it should be homegrown stuff. You know, you go to Broadway and they help, you know, their own composers, they put new stuff on. And more than we do, and we don't. And there's no getting away from that, you know. And it's not shock horror. I'm not saying anything that's kind of, you know, it's true. It is true. And it's not just that I'm not allowed to get my stuff on it. Nobody else is either, really. You know, it's kind of like every so often we get something, but then the pressure is really on that show. You know, if it was happening every 2-3 months, the pressure is taken off a bit and we can just relax. You know, every show's got to land straight away. They won't land straight away. You know, a show is not necessarily going to be opening like perfect. You know, even the last run of From Here to Eternity, we were just kind of getting it right when we came off. You know, the last month was brilliant. We were sold out every night, every performance. We had the audience we should have had to start with, which was you. You know, that kind of age group and clientele and stuff. And also the cast had got it under the, and we knew what worked and it was working like a dream. And so it takes time to get these things, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing them. We should be.
No, agreed. And that's something you mentioned there, which I found really interesting, because you're right that it suddenly becomes, it suddenly takes people by surprise that there's new material and that it's good. And you're right that it puts a lot of pressure on new shows to perform well from the get-go and win people over straight away. So with something like From Here to Eternity in mind, which has kind of become, you know, a bit of a cult classic, if you want to call it that, because it does seem like it's such a die-hard theatre favourite, and it's existing theatre fans and theatre circles that know it and love it and champion it. And I guess from your perspective as the composer of it, does it feel more special that all these diehard theatre fans love your show so much? Or is there this niggling voice in the back of your head saying, you know, if we'd had this opportunity or this chance, that fan base could have spread much wider?
Oh, definitely. No, definitely. Because the fact is, I always say that I'm sitting in that audience when I write stuff, and I'm just an ordinary working class guy. And I come from Gateshead. I mean, I've not come from Eton or somewhere, you know. I've had Eton Ness. That's as close as I've been to. You know what I mean? The whole thing is, I am like the ordinary person that puts a hand in their pocket and pays to go to the theatre. And that's who I write shows for. That's my audience. So I know they will get it on tour or whatever the musical is I'm writing. I want to give them value for money. I want to give them something that I'm proud of. And the songs hopefully are memorable. And you know, I can still do the dangerous stuff or the avant-garde or whatever, dark stuff. But I can also give them songs that are memorable and they can't get out of their head and all that kind of thing, because that's the sort of things that I was brought up with my dad. My dad was playing stuff and it's always about melody, and I love the old songs too. I'd go, that's a good song. But I could still go and listen to David Bowie or Alice Cooper or, you know, and still enjoy wild rock and roll. So it's kind of like, I think the audience is out there for this. And if I get into a conversation, if I've had a few drinks about the old run of From Here to Eternity, I do get a little bit frustrated and angry that we didn't get longer, or we didn't get a transfer, or other producers in town didn't offer us a theatre, you know, all of that stuff, because I think we deserved it. And I think the public then proved that they did like it, and they did buy the album, and they went to see the movie and stuff like that. So sometimes in this country, we're just not very good at helping our own. You know, we'd rather look at people from overseas and go, aren't they fantastic, and bring them over. instead of going, hold on, this kid's from Gateshead, or this guy's from Birmingham, or this lad's from, you know, Stratford, or, you know, wherever. And we're not giving our own this opportunity to express themselves, because we've got, and then they go to America or they go somewhere else and get success. And then suddenly it's like, oh, we want them again, you know? And so it is that, but that's, I don't think all the years I've been doing it, even when I was in the pop band, I don't think it's changed much. I always think it was always like that. We just do, it's just something in our makeup. It's not mine, because I spot talent all the time and I'm prepared to go, like when I've been doing shows, I've tried a few things out with drama schools and they've been fantastic and I'll do more. I love working with the kids and I like to say stuff up and running within a week, and if it's good, it will work. And the kids are so good. And I love to give them a new song and go, I've just written that yesterday, go on, have a go at it. And they're like, well, they're nervous, but they're excited. And that's fantastic. So I think it's just a case of fear. And I don't understand why. I mean, for me, I get up every day and I'm always writing and creating. And I've just, my whole life has been about new things, new experiences, new. And I don't know why people have a fear of new things. I've got no answers to it, because it just seems really stupid. And if I had more money, I would just put new stuff on all the time, because it's so much more exciting to go to an opener, even if it doesn't work. I mean, personally now, if somebody says, do you want to go and see blah, 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 and it's a hit or it's getting 5-star reviews, I'm like, okay, or something brand new, I'll go and see something brand new, because I want to get that experience of going, oh, I was there when, it was the same when I used to go look at bands. I was more interested to go and see a new band that did their own songs. Not that they, we do a cover of Madonna or something. I'm like, well, it's a bit boring. But so it's kind of, it's doable. It's just a fear factor. But I think we can make a difference and change it. And I think the audience, like you said, love Eternity. And they're really, when they love it, they really love it. I mean, they're bonkers over it, which is great. And I just think that could be more people. More people could be that. And more people could like From Here to Eternity. I don't think they got a chance to know it. They didn't get a chance to know me. They didn't know the journey I'd been on to get there, even to where it got before. It's very, very difficult to, even with Tim Rice supporting it and part of it, people are still reluctant to kind of give you a chance, you know? It's just bizarre. But I love the Eternity fans. I think they're just like a cut above, you know? They're a cut above. But I think there could be more of them out there. There will be. It's just about new stuff. But everybody knows who knows me. I'm just obsessed with doing new work and giving new talent a chance to shine. Super important.
But I think that's a really refreshing way of looking at it, because it does feel like things can get, you know, a bit samey, and we need people like you who are, you know, not only willing to take the risk, but also are willing to champion people who are taking risks. And it's so refreshing to see. And like it shouldn't be a refreshing thing, should it? It should be what's happening all the time.
No, I should be one of the many. I shouldn't be one of the few. It's just the way it is. I mean, even when we opened the first time at the Shaftesbury and all the press were in and all that, and I think it was the only time I got on the cover of the stage, and I was quoted and saying the West End should just be full of new work and all the other shows should be on tour, you know, and I couldn't even remember saying it because I'd probably had a couple of glasses of champagne, but I thought, it does sound like I did say that, and it's because it's, and I still think actually that's a good idea, but you know, it's business sense. It's a business sense. But I think it's also that the public, the people who love musical theatre and the British musical theatre fans and, you know, composers and writers and actors and performers and all that should stand up more and say, yeah, we want to do new stuff. We want this. We want to have a go at it. But we're all in this together, you know, at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting, I think, because I hate to mention the elephant in the room of COVID and the pandemic, but yeah. I think that more than anything seemed to kind of kick the backside of the theatre industry a little bit and kind of make people review and rethink the way things are going.
I think it feels very much, I was just saying to someone the other day, I said, you know, all these shows closing, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when they had the Spanish flu, which is like 18 or something, just after the First World War. and people came back from the war, and then there was this huge Spanish flu. It was kind of similar to what we just had. And then everything kind of changed. The stuff that was going on before, suddenly we had jazz. We had people living on that edge for like the roaring 20s or whatever they call it. That's all because of what had happened with the pandemic of in 1918 and the First World War. And it feels like we have come out of a war, and the public are going, hold on, we might, you know, we've seen people die, we've seen all this tragedy happen, and it came from nowhere, and we suddenly we're making history here, and people are going, I want to have a life before I die. I want to see, you know, mortality suddenly comes to the fore. And so I do think it's a change, and I think that's what's going to happen over the next few years. Hopefully, we have more experiences, and this immersive thing that's happening, that's all part of that as well, you know, with theatre, that you're getting this kind of like entering the world before you enter the world of the theatre. And it's cool. I like that. And I think I was trying to do that ages ago, but it wasn't really happening. And now it's suddenly happening. And I think it's because people have this intensity now to, well, if I go out, I'm risking getting COVID or something. Yeah, it's like, I'm going to enjoy it. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think everybody should live their life like that anyway, because we can't guarantee, without getting morbid, that we're going to be a kicking tomorrow, you know? So do things today. It's not a bad way to live your life, really.
No, I think that's a really refreshing way of looking at it. And yeah, I think you're right in that we're heading towards like the cusp of like a cultural revolution. And
yeah.
I'm really pleased that people like yourself and creatives in this industry are hopefully going to be at the forefront of that and leading the charge in doing things a bit differently and offering things a bit different.
Yeah.
And look, I know it's still very early days, but I am so, so excited about, you know, as you say, this return of From Here to Eternity, where you're going to be doing things that you maybe didn't get the chance to last time.
Yeah, I think maybe we were just a little bit ahead of the curve, and maybe it's like catching, sometimes to be ahead of a curve is just as bad as being behind the curve. You want to kind of be on the wave rather than, oh, that was a great wave, or I'm on a wave before you. And I think sometimes with Eternity, there's a few shows, and I'm not mentioning them, that kind of jumped on the Eternity thing, that we kind of did stuff without knowing we were doing it, or we did, and we took, you know, everybody wanted things perfect, and so you get the critics, so we got good reviews, but we got a few like they just don't get stuff, and then other shows kind of basked on the back of that and then came through and ended up getting a lot of success and stuff, and that's cool. But maybe this time, maybe Eternity now, because we do have a bit of a cult audience, whatever you want to call it, and they know a few of the songs, and they know me a bit more, they kind of get it a bit more as well now. I'm hoping, and I've done a lot. The great thing from the last run of Eternity was I was able to do a lot of evenings with, and it was great, because when I did them, and I want to do more, I was meeting a lot of people that had a preconceived idea of who I would be before they got to know me. And I'm very honest and open, as you can tell. So during the night, they got the truth from me, and they also got the struggle, and they got the great stuff. And it kind of, and afterwards, we were like that. Oh, I didn't know you'd done that. I didn't know it was like, and it also gives them encouragement that I'm going to get on the piano. I'm going to get on the guitar. I'm going to start right. You know, their dreams that they bottled thinking I'm not good enough, suddenly then they go, I'm going to have a go. I'm going in. Okay, nothing might come of it, but there's nothing wrong with having a go, you know? So, and giving them a bit of hope. So that came from the last one. So I'll do more of these kind of things leading up to this show. Hopefully that kind of, it's not this world of musical theatre people that everybody seems to think everybody's pretentious or sitting there and all of that stuff. And I love working with people, and I like trying stuff out. And I don't mind making a fool of myself or making a mistake, because you've got to. And hopefully through that, you do the good stuff, and the good stuff comes through, and the new stuff comes through. So I'll do a bit more, so they get a sense that even if they don't like From Here to Eternity, at least they're coming out going, well, I didn't like it, but they know who wrote it. And that means a lot to me, rather than what happened before. I'd be sitting watching the show, nobody knew who I was, and they kind of preconceived making ideas to not like it, because they thought it had come from whatever. You were carrying that demon in the head already. And So I don't mind people coming to me, I don't like your stuff, but at least they know it's my stuff. That's what I'm saying, you know. Yeah,
yeah, it's got your stamp in your style.
That's it. And I think that's why this audience that loves Eternity now, I think they've bought into, that's my sound. That's my kind of way of doing it. I'm not Stephen Sondheim. I'm not Andrew Lloyd Webber. I'm not the guy who wrote Hamilton. I'm not, you know, the guys that did Showman or whatever. I'm not that type of person. But I'm very British. I'm proud to be English, and I'm proud to be a Geordie. And you know, I've come from a diff that world, which is a bit more real in that sense. But it's kind of, you've got to get once they know your personality, I think then they get the work a bit more. You know, it's like me. I love John Lennon, but if you take John Lennon out, the John Lennon stuff, he didn't know who he was. Then the stuff's like, well, what's he saying? It's a bit pretentious, or it's a bit, you know. That's a bit stupid or whatever. But when you get to know him, you get the sense of humour, you get the, you know, yeah, he's got an opinion and all that. And that's kind of in that way. So you've got to know the people to get that work, I think. And it takes the work to another notch.
It does, though. And for me, something like From Here to Eternity is so synonymous with you as a musician and as a person. And like, I will admit that when I saw the news that it was coming back, it was one of those moments where like I did a little excited dance. And I mean, that's just me. What has the reaction been like from people so far?
I was surprised how many people, because I thought maybe they'd forgotten or whatever, you know, you don't know. And then it went kind of crazy because we've not really done a lot of publicity. It was just like on the social media stuff, but it was crazy. And it was like, wow, I thought, oh, it does mean a lot to a lot of people. And that was really sweet to me. I mean, it was incredibly humbling, but great. I'm still going fist pumping and all that. But the other side of it is you realise how fortunate you are that people like what you do. I mean, if anybody likes one of my songs, I'm kind of like, oh, do you like it? I mean, it's still, I don't get over that feeling of somebody's mentioned my song and they like it. You know, it's a lovely feeling.
Is there like this excited giddiness back?
Yeah.
You know, you talked earlier about being quite critical of other people's work as a teenager and thinking I could do better, and seeing that reaction from the audience, are you like, oh, I've done it, I've done what I set out to do?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I was kind of, yeah, there was part of me going, I don't know if I can do this or whatever, but I was also, there was always something in the back of my head going, I think I can do this, because I remember, I was just telling a friend the other day, which is really cocky, but I remember when I went to drama school, and I don't know how old I was, but I think I was kind of, I didn't know whether I wanted to go into acting or whether I wanted to go into pop music at the time. So I was kind of like, too good. So I went to theatre school because I thought it was going to be all like Fame, you know, like that film, and everybody's going to be jumping on cars, and stuff, which in Newcastle just didn't happen really. And then they were playing this, I'm not going to mention the show, but we were doing a musical, which was an old chestnut from the 70s. And I always remember going in the rehearsal room and the pianist MD teacher, whoever he was playing the score going, oh, this is fantastic. Isn't this a fantastic score and all of that? And I don't know why. I just said, I don't think it's very good. And I always remember him saying, well, if you think you could do better, you know, and I was like 18 or something. And I just wonder where he is now, because I could go, well, I'm not saying I did better, but at least I had a go, you know. And I love writing songs and I love writing shows, and I just want people to hear them. And if I can give anybody pleasure, and take them out of themselves for a couple of hours in a theatre, I mean, I just can't think of a better thing to be able to do, you know, when people come out and go, and, you know, with Eternity, they're usually crying, but it's that kind of, but it's a nice cry. It's the kind of cry of, wow. And it always meant a lot to me when I've seen, you know, hanging around outside the theatre and I see people coming out and then they go back in and buy another ticket. I've seen people do that with Eternity, which was weird. Because they were just like it. You know, when people got it, they really got it. And we had the fans, and I think they're coming to this world. I mean, they're all people I kind of, you end up knowing people, not socially, but just like we had for the last run in London, there was the 100 Club, because they came 100 times, and they were like, you know, with the 100 Club, and can you get a seat? And I'm like, yeah, because you've paid for 100 tickets, you deserve to. And hell, you know, and you go through all this nonsense from the production team, but you can't do that, you can't. But I'm like, I've got a fan. If somebody's a fan of what I'm doing, I think it's important to respond and go, why do you like it? And they want to know. The great thing about From Here to Eternity fans, and girls especially, but you guys, much the same, and young people, they want to know more about the background to the story. They want to know about the characters. They want to know about Pruitt. And I always say to them, well, you like history, obviously. You know, now you've opened that window. That door. Don't close it. Go further in and, you know, explore this world because it's fantastic. And Eternity's given me this. I think it was the opening night in London. And I've worked on this show for ages, Eternity. And you kind of think you're just doing it on your own. You think nobody's interested. And then suddenly everybody is. You've got mountains of people. But somebody came across to me and said, I think it was an American chap that was working on the show, on the fight guy, or the military guy, military advisor. And he said, I want you to meet George. I went, who's George? He said, well, he said, he was in the barracks with James Jones when he wrote the first three chapters of From Here to Eternity, and he's came to see your show. And I'm like, no pressure. I just walked over, and he was a little, very dapper guy, you know, really groomed, come from America. And he held my hand and shook my hand, really good handshake, and I'm holding his hand, and I just said, well, did you like it, you know? And he went, yeah, it was great. He said, James Jones came to me and said, yeah, see what you think of it. And I got a shiver up my back, you know, because it's really cool when you're kind of so close to that, you know, in that journey. And this is why I said new work takes you on that journey. That you meet some incredible people that they come out and go, oh, my father was in the military, this means so much to me, and all of that. And it's so important that they kind of can hold on to it. That Bulls of 41 represents something to them personally. Like women, they go, my dad would have loved this, he died in this war or whatever it is, but he was here tonight. I can feel them in that song, and they're crying and all that. And I'm going, you don't know when you're writing them that it's going to go on that journey. And Fight the Fight, I mean, I didn't know when I came that it was going to be this bonkers song, you know. I really didn't.
I was going to say, because I know it's a nightmare when people ask, like, oh, what's your favourite song? Or what's the song you're most proud of? But Fight the Fight really has become not only the anthem of the show, but your anthem personally. Like, did you have any idea?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I kind of was like, I had a tune when I did the first kind of versions of From Your Eternity, and I had this song. And when we ended up working in Cornwall with Tim for the last production, and we were kind of running up to the last month or two before we opened, I went down and he says, oh, I've written a new lyric to this song. I went, okay. And I just got there. I think I'd gone down on the train that night. So I literally got to his place late on, and I was a bit knackered because he's right down the bottom of the country. I was tired. And the first thing he said was, go and play it straight away. And I thought, well, the song you're mentioning, I wrote on the piano. I can't remember the chords. And he just thrust a guitar in front of me, and it was Fight the Fight. He gave me Fight the Fight lyrics. It was a variation on what I had before, but since I had written it on the piano, I couldn't really remember the chord sequence. But he'd written I'd had a definite chorus for the other song, and he had this, it's a long, all of that, which was where the chorus used to be, which isn't the chorus really. But it's the same kind of melody. It was more of the way I played it was like Tom Petty. So I just played it and I forgot about it, but I must have recorded it or something. But, you know, and then went to bed or whatever. And then we ended up giving it to someone, and then Michael Paul got it. And then we did it and then you go, oh, what's happened? You know what I mean? And that's what happens with songs. You do not know the ones that are going to just capture people, you know, and I'm happy. I mean, it's a good song, and it works live. I mean, I've done it at a few functions, and it is, you get that kind of, as soon as you start going, oh, I'm going to play it like that, and you just play it, like, oh, he's playing the song, he's playing it, and I'm like, who's playing it? Oh, me, you know, it's kind of weird that it's that kind of song, you know. But it's Boys of 41, again, they take on this journey. You know, I could play your Boys of 41 on acoustic guitar, and it's just like a country song, really. You do it like that. It's all the songs, that's what I'm most proud of, actually, apart from G Company Blues, which goes on forever. But most of the songs in Eternity, I could just play to you in a room on a guitar, like Run Long Joe or whatever, and they're very simple, really. And I'm proud of that, because I think that's a good thing, that it's kind of the work in that, and then you can give them the massive arrangements or the full blown stuff on big choirs or whatever, and they work there. But it's the simplicity that I'm most proud of. Because when you write something that's simple but true, and just hits home. That's the most satisfying thing, because that's, as a songwriter, that's what you want to do. So, but you don't know, in answer to your question, you really don't know the songs that are going to go on this incredible whatever. And it worked in America as well, and they didn't really know the score out there. We did it a few times, the show, we've done it out then, and it still had the same thing out there too. So it must be something in the energy of it, I think.
Well, I mean, it's also testament to your writing and to Tim Rice as well. I mean, that's something I wanted to ask you about. Like, what is it like working with him?
His words are brilliant. You know, I've taught him all he knows. Let's be honest. He came to me for advice, and I said, Tim, I think you should stick with the day job because you're very good at it. Now, he's brilliant. And what I love about Tim's words is the kind of like, sometimes I think people don't realize the inner meanings and things that he does. And he's very, very, and it takes me a couple of days. Sometimes I go, oh, he is quite clever, you know. And also when he sends you something, it's that moment of, because I've known Tim for years, and I'm honoured to call him a good friend, and he is one of the best friends, and he's been great, been wonderfully supportive to me. It's so rare, and he is a really lovely bloke. But it's that moment when he sends you a lyric that he suddenly becomes Tim Rice, Sir Tim Rice, or whatever you want to call it, and you get the words come through, and you know you've seen them before anyone else, and it is that moment, and I think I'm a bit more experienced with it now, but when it first happened, you know, and I wasn't a kid, but it still goes, you go, oh gosh, I'm getting these words, and this is the guy who wrote Jesus Christ Superstar or something, and he's giving me this, and I've got to write something that's better than anything he's ever done with anyone, you know. So it is that. But now I kind of, when I get them, I go, I just think they're my lyrics, and I just treat it with, it's not that I don't treat them with respect, I don't go overboard worrying, and I just go, I'll see what comes, and I enjoyed it. So that's what we've got now, and we've got a couple of nice things that I think are going to work good, and it's just such an honour working with him. But he's great, but he is supporting new work, and he's supporting me, and I'm doing new work. So he didn't need to do this show. He doesn't need to do these things, and he is, and so I'm so grateful that he is. And if he'd not said, when I first sent him the From Here to Eternity original batch of stuff, like 8 songs I think I did, had he not come back and said, this is good, I don't know whether I would have pursued it. I would have probably went, well, I'll try for a bit and then just put it in the drawer like I've done with other stuff and move on and do something else. So it was his encouragement that if he thinks it's good, maybe it is.
Yeah, that extra input, and like, especially when it's someone like Sir Tim Rice, like, that's a real pat on the back he says that it's good.
I know, it is good. And now, you know, when I've sent him other stuff, I'm working on new shows or other stuff, and I'm really proud of when he comes, my gosh, those lyrics are really very good. And I'm really chuffed, because it's like being at school with your teacher giving you, like, 10 out of 10 or whatever, when you were, like, bottom of the class. And then suddenly I've got, oh, I'm a swat now. But it's kind of cool that he likes my words now, because I really enjoy writing lyrics too, and I like writing the full package. So, but I do appreciate what Tim does, because I thought, I don't know whether I could write, if somebody came to me and went, would you just write the lyrics for this or something? I don't know whether I could do it, you know? I mean, but if there's tunes there already, it's a different thing. But he's great. He's great. And he's very excited about this new production, as we both are. And it's his show too, you know? It's just, he's obsessed with the story, the characters and the world. And he's, you know, we've been to America together. We've gone to see productions there, and we've enjoyed that. We've enjoyed the casts that we've worked with and the towns we've been in. It's been fantastic. And going to Middle America, and we were in a car going from Boston to Algonquin when they put on one of the productions there. And it's quite a drive. And we're in this car, just me and him and this driver. And he didn't know who Tim was, and we were just sitting in the back. You started playing songs, and then me and Tim we were doing this like pop quiz to, you know, like, oh, that sounds good, because he likes pop music, I do, and that's Lynyrd Skynyrd, oh, that's who I'm doing. Who is this? And all of that, and doing that. And then halfway during the journey, the guy just turned around, he says, oh, what do you do? It's about the two of us. And Tim says, oh, we write music, we've written a musical. And oh, that's good. contemplate that it was Tim Rice sitting at the back of his car. Where he's just, oh, we've written this music. She says, what's it got? Oh, from you. I said, oh. He says, yes, well, that's why we're going. We're gonna. And then when we got to the town, they had the posters up. And the guy was going, there's your show. I just remember things like that. And I thought, oh, that's really good. But the guy didn't know who he was. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like one of those road movies or something, you know. You've got Bill Gates sitting in the back. I kind of dabble on computers. Oh, that's good.
Oh my God, yeah. That's incredible. You know, but you know, you as you said, you've now taken the show to America, and it feels like it's got a bit more traction than it did the first time around. And also with this fresh injection from people like Nick Barstow and Katie Lipson and a new cast, of course. Like, I'm so excited as a fan, but I'm so excited for the new people who are now going to get to discover From Here to Eternity in a brand new way. So I guess what I need to say is thank you for creating such a brilliant piece of theatre and something with such a long life as well that can translate in so many different ways.
I think it's the start of it. I really do. And I think now we can get it to be more on a, you know, people are going to see it on a more regular basis. And also, I think in lots of ways, the way it's been launched, the look of the whole thing, and it just feels more how I saw it in the first place. There was lots of the last production there, and I'm not making any criticisms or anything because I was involved with it. And so, but it always felt that it went too big too quickly and it became too South Pacific or that kind of world. And it's not. It was never that kind of show. And I think I knew that, but I don't think people did because it was so new. They just went, you know, let's get some layers in there and let's get some Hawaiian ukuleles, and that's what it is. And I went, well, and I always used to say in meetings, I go, you know, it's like, yes, it's set at the same time as South Pacific, but what you've got to imagine is South Pacific are on that part of the island and they're all going, I'm going to wash that man out of my hair and all that stuff. And we're like kind of over here having a bit more, you know, they're probably smoking a joint, singing Fight the Fight, you know. It's the same world, but it's a different world. And there's room for both the worlds, but that kind of is a bit, I wasn't used to that when we came out the last tour, where they were kind of always thinking that I was in that world or that I'd been influenced by South Pacific. And I'm like, you know, if they'd said I was influenced by Station to Station by David Bowie or Billion Dollar Babies, Alice Cooper, I go, oh, yeah, maybe, but not South Pacific. So it was kind of, you know, it's not my thing. And this is anti-war. This is just so anti-war. And what I tend to write, as people get to know my other shows more, they'll kind of know that I always seem to write about anti-heroes, misfits, outsiders. All my lead characters are all that kind of stuff because I kind of resonate to that and I think they're so cool. And I don't think we've had enough of those kind of people on West End. You know, they all tend to be very much mainstream people, whereas mine are always moody, misunderstood. They're all Pruitt. They're all variations of Pruitt, which is like, you know, he's annoying, but he's dead cool. He's brilliant, but he's a pain in the butt, you know. It's all of that kind of stuff. But I love those people, and that's all the other characters in my other shows tend to be that, whether they're women or men. It's all, they're not understood, they're misfits, but they're cool. And I kind of want to bring cool to theatre, because so many times you go and see stuff, you come out and go, not cool, is it, you know?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? And I say this as a theatre fan, but I feel like so often we're trying to fight this kind of uphill battle to break away from this like elite jazz hands, high kicks, glittery stereotype of theatre. And like, I will stand on the hill and say that modern musical theatre is the most diverse area of music there is, like any genre, any style that you want, it's there in a musical. And I'm so pleased that we have shows like From Here to Eternity and so many others that are, you know, leading that charge and showcasing different genres, like the styles and genres that are in From Here to Eternity: blues, big band, swing, rock and roll, and the way it blends together so cohesively and still sounds like theatre. Like, that is so impressive, and I take my hat off to you, and I genuinely can't wait to see this new version and the different tweaks that get made to the music specifically. And I know you've said there's going to be some new songs, which is exciting. But is this basically your chance to revisit and re-experiment maybe with some of the music?
It is, and it's great, and I'm just so fortunate to get it, you know, get it back, and it's not been easy, and you know, I've got over the years, I just want to thank so many people that have supported, because when we closed in London, not just me, the cast of that last production, a lot of people were really upset and hurt and all of that, and the thing that got a lot of us through, especially me, because obviously I held on to eternity and I won't give up. Was the fans, was the people that wrote to me every so often or found it, you know, if it was through the movie or they just found the album or when it was on YouTube or something happens every so often, they put it at the cinema and you win a new fan and they kind of get in touch with you because they've just found it. And you get up in the day and if you're not feeling great, you go, oh, nah, what's the point, all of that. And then somebody gives you that. So I really do thank the fans and the people that like the show or support the show, because they're really, they're kind of like, they've kept it going and lots of it kept me going with it as well. And I do appreciate that. So I really do thank them, because I don't think people realise how much it means to composers when somebody says, I love that song, or I can't sing that song, or I'm just obsessed with the show, or how did you do this, how did you do that? It just means so much, you know, it really does. So I really do thank the From Eternity fans. They're so loyal, they're so balmy, they're obsessive. I can't say I would be as obsessive on anything. I'm trying to think if I ever was. I probably was with David Bowie for a period, but it's kind of, I just go, it's absolutely bonkers. They really are. I mean, kids have had tattoos with the lyrics on, yeah, all that kind of stuff, and great. But I just think they're great. I really do appreciate them. So, I want more to get it. But it's lovely when new fans, and also from different parts of the world, it's bonkers, you know. Russia, you know, Japan, Ireland. It's really popular in certain places where you go, I don't think it would go down, you know, it seemed to get the music and they get the tunes and they get the story. So great. I'm just very fortunate and I just want to continue with this and it's going to be so much fun. But again, really excited, thrilled, very lucky that, you know, to get a show on, it's great. It's just a lovely feeling. And I love being back in town again, you know, it's just nice to be back in the West End again, because I've missed it, you know. I've just missed feeling part of it, because you feel like you're knocked out a bit and you don't see other people's stuff and it does get on your nerves a bit. You get frustrated. That's what you do when you've got some good stuff in the can. So, but it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
No, well, I think that excitement shines through. And I mean, I have to say personally, I'm so excited that we're going to get the chance to see something like From Here to Eternity, not only back in London, but back in such a new and unique and creative way. And it's nice that even if you have had a bit of time away from the mainstream, in heavily inverted commas, that the theatre is always there to welcome you back. And that particularly, as you say, the fans have been such a consistency throughout this.
They have. I mean, we've got super, super fans. I mean, people that are just like nutty on it, and it's fantastic. And when they like a song and they like something you've done, and it's a very gratifying feeling. I never take it for granted. I enjoy every second of it, but it's fantastic. I'm really excited though. You've got me really excited.
Oh, it is exciting, isn't it? A huge thanks to Stuart Brayson for chatting to me. And in case it didn't come through, I am so over the moon that From Here to Eternity is back, particularly in this kind of never before seen or heard like this way. I cannot wait to find out more about what's in store over the coming months before it opens at the Charing Cross Theatre in London at the end of October. As I said, it will be there from the 29th of October to the 17th of December, and tickets are on sale now via the link here in the post. You really don't want to miss out on this, so get your tickets booked now. And on that note, I will say goodbye to you for this week. Of course, I'll be back again next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. with a brand new Spotlight On episode to tell you all about a hit show that's on its way to Nottingham. So make sure you join me right here on Spotlight On next Sunday for that. You can also follow along on Facebook at URN Showtime and on Twitter at Showtime URN to make sure you never miss a moment. Because, as we say, the showtime must go on. Until then, good night.
You're listening to Showtime
on URN.